Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Our heavenly dwelling. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for not only saving us from our sins, Lord, but also going to prepare a place for us, Lord, a place for us to be with you. We look forward to that day. And in the meantime, Lord, we ask that you watch over us and you guide us. Please be with us this morning, Lord. Be with the pastor as he delivers the message, and let it resonate in our hearts and minds, Lord. Be with us for the rest of the week. In your most gracious name, amen.
Do you have an appointment today? Anyone has a date today, an appointment? Good. You're programming your time. Good. But what about tomorrow? About this week, coming week, do you have a meeting that you must attend? We all have meetings. We all have dates to remember. Very often, appointments and meetings control our lives. Appointments with doctors, family members, mechanics, school teachers, business and pleasure dates, we must keep, but they can be canceled or rescheduled if necessary. And I was thinking about my wife and I. We are in about 2-3 weeks we'll be leaving for Armenia. And we know we have a date at the airport. And then we have another date at the airport in Armenia. And then we have other dates to keep. So my wife and I are putting down these dates, and we are making sure, God willing, to honor those dates. We all have appointments to keep. But there is one appointment that every one of us must keep. You cannot cancel it. You cannot reschedule it. This appointment is more important than any other appointment. It is an appointment that will be not rescheduled. As a matter of fact, we have very little, or rather no control over it. This appointment will take place whether we want it or not. You know what sometimes I feel? I feel that we Christians, I feel that we, those who go to church and study the Bible and talk to each other about Christian life and doctrines, and we argue and we look for verses to prove to someone else about our faith, our Christianity, about the interpretation of some verses, about the translation of the Bible, and we are so busy doing all kinds of things, and yet we don't have time to think of our appointment with God. You say, well, we're doing all this, Because we have an appointment. I know, but when you have an appointment, you make sure that you're ready for that appointment. Not you only talk about the appointment. And I've heard people say, well, when I die, whatever. Others say, yes, I know I'll be going to heaven, and they laugh. They think it's a joke. Others say, yeah, I'm going to hell because all my friends are there, and they joke. But it's not a joke. It's not something that we can sort of leave it, take it or leave it. It is a date that every one of us will have to keep. You cannot reschedule. Oh, you say, yeah, I can reschedule it. If I go in front of the bus now and get killed, I've no, you did not change it. That's what was your date, your appointment. This appointment is the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Another translation puts it this way, excuse me, "We must all have our lives laid open before the tribunal of Christ." Now, you would think that I'm saying the wrong things if you just finished listening to a message on television. You would have thought that I'm making up all these if you would be watching television or reading a pamphlet. Because most of the time, if not the majority of the messages today, are about here and now and prosperity and health and how to impress others. And no one talks about heaven and hell and the judgment day when we stand before the throne of God. And Jesus wanted to make that very clear, that there is such a thing, when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar. Now this is not, I've said it many times before, this is not a story that he just came up with. This is real. Because when Jesus gave parables, he never used any names. But in this instance, when Jesus said, and when the rich man died, and then when Lazarus, these were real people. And the end came when they stopped breathing. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." The judgment seat of Christ will reveal our lives of service for Christ exactly as they have been. And people say, oh yeah, there's a video machine or there's this. But whatever that is, I believe God knows everything about each one of us. This particular appointment is only for the believers, and it refers to what we have done with our lives as Christians. Unbelievers too have an appointment with God a little later on. In Romans 2, we read, Romans 2, 5, 6, and 16. "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares," says Apostle Paul. Now, I'm not making up this. I'm not making it sound terrible and dangerous. But it is terrible and it is dangerous unless you make peace with God and you are ready to face God. But this particular appointment in 2 Corinthians 5:10 is for the believers. and not even one Christian will be excused. The verse says, we must. Now, Apostle Paul says, we must all. That means Apostle Paul. Now, this judgment is something that people avoid to talk about. Our appointment is with Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who came down to save us. He did not have to. He is the one who died on the cross for us. He did not have to. He is the one who has taken away our sins. No one else could. He is the one who has heard our prayers. Now, we have a prayer meeting every Tuesday night. And some people believe that these prayers are just typical practice or religious thing that we have to do to feel good. No, if that's how you feel, don't pray, please. If you feel prayer is good because it makes you feel good, it's like saying, well, talking to my mom who is dead makes me feel good, and it does sometimes. I'll go in my room and start talking to mom, but she cannot hear me. But if my mom, or when my mom was alive and my dad were alive, if I would talk to them, I would get a response. He would respond. So I believe when I talk to God, God hears my prayer and He responds. You say, have you heard His voice? Well, some people say they heard. But I know that I hear His voice in my heart and in my mind and in the things that happen around me. Yes, I know that God hears my prayers and He answers my prayers. So He is the one who is going to be the judge of all mankind. We must all live our life with this meeting in mind. We will stand before the one who knows all about us. The first part of the verse says, we must all appear. We will stand before the one who knows his sheep. We must all stand, appear before His throne. Now, while we are alive, while you are 19, 14, 10 years old, when you are 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60, or even 80, you think, oh, everything is fine. No, one day when I die, God is going to understand. No, it's not that way, because no one has signed a contract. Well, God has not signed the contract with you, how long you live. And if your date is today and God calls you home, what will you do? Will you be able to face God like Lazarus found himself in the bosom of Abraham, that is, in the presence of God? Or you'll look up and see your friends? I know this is not the most pleasant message. Some people say, you know, like I've heard people say, well, you are too to the point, and you know, like you don't make me feel good. Well, you know, this is not an entertainment center. It's not a nightclub. It's not a movie house. It is a place where we gather together and ask God to speak to each one of us. Every time I come in the church and before I come in, I know that I should be emptied from myself and filled with His Holy Spirit. And I believe that every time God speaks first to me, I've never heard His voice. But I've heard His voice I hear His voice all the time. Like you do. Nothing can be hidden from our Creator and Lord. And no, there is no way out of this meeting. We will all appear before the judgment seat. Now, if you believe this, and if people believe that there is a judgment day, and if people believe that we will all stand before the throne of God, we must be fools not to be ready for Him. We must be fools continuing doing things that will only disconnect us or have disconnected us from God. Well, I know there are doctrines who say otherwise, but I don't care what any doctrine says. Any doctrine, but I care what the Word of God says, and the Word of God is very clear that we must be born again and we must be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, And as Jesus said, we must follow him in his footsteps. If you do that, don't worry about anything. If you are following Christ in his footsteps, he is there to protect you. The Holy Spirit is there to protect you. But you cannot bring the Holy Spirit and Jesus into a nightclub where you are going to be sinning. You cannot bring the Holy Spirit and Christ to some place where you will gamble your life away, or drink your life away, or do drugs and feel good, because they won't be there. You cannot have Christ and darkness in the same place. Now let us look at some things Jesus knows about us. What about computers? You know what? I've been told, and I don't know very much about computers other than to turn it on and see some things and say a few words. But I've been told that you cannot wipe away from the computer. Even if you erase stuff, there are those who can bring back the information. And I know that there are computers that are recording every movement of some people they want to follow. And if we can do that, why is it that God cannot do it better? And I believe that God can do everything because he created the computers. You say, what? Well, he gave enough material and wisdom, and if you wish, enough stuff for people to do it. He knows what occupies our mind. He actually knows what I'm thinking while I'm sitting there, while Vahe was reading the Bible and I was sitting there and thinking. Only God knows what I was thinking. God knows what you're thinking now. You may say, well, again, Pastor Joseph goes with heaven and hell and holiness and stuff. But that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what God did from creation. He said to Adam and Eve, you see, I've created all this beautiful stuff. But if you sin, you die. And then he said the same thing to everyone until today. He knows what we read and do at home and work. He knows what we do with our money and talents. He knows the degree of our dedication to him and his service. He knows the secret desires of our hearts. He knows because he is God. He knows because he is God. In Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, we read, but I tell you that man will have to give account on that day, on the day of judgment, for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And if we know that he knows us inside out, what kind of life should we be living? What kind of adjustments should we make before that meeting with Christ? Before I went to the dentist a couple of years ago, I went upstairs and I took my toothbrush and I took the paste and I started brushing. I just didn't want to go to the doctor and he would say, you know, you have to clean your teeth before you come here. I wanted to be ready to meet the dentist. Well, if that's what we should do, what we do with the dentist, or if you go to the doctor, before you go to the doctor, you have a shower, I hope, and you clean and you wear something that is not smelling bad. If we do all this for here, for what about God? We really don't take God seriously, I believe. Christians, I believe, as I always say, and my wife jokes about it, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. One has got to go. And you either surrender your life to the Lord and you wash, and you are washed with his blood and now you are ready to meet your Creator, or you don't wash and your sins stay with you. What changes in our priorities should we make? And what changes in our goals and plans should we make? I don't know, have you made any changes in your plans and priorities these days? Have you sat down and said, okay, now I have been spending a lot of time at my business place. Or I've been spending a lot of time cycling. I've been spending a lot of time driving around aimlessly. I've been spending a lot of time watching television, sport. So I don't have any time now for my family, and I don't have enough time for reading the Bible and praying. And maybe I should make some adjustments because I'm running out of time. Every one of us, even a baby, the moment the baby is born is in the process of dying. There is not one baby that was born that has not died in the past, and there isn't one baby that is going to be born that will never die unless Christ comes first. Remember that we must stand before the one who has commissioned us. Each Christian has been commissioned to serve. We are to be his ambassadors. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:20 this: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, have you ever, there are sometimes ambassadors who would rebel against their government, but an ambassador, a counselor, should always know what his government stands for, or his king or queen stands for. An ambassador has to reflect exactly the government that he represents and the country he represents. And to do that, an ambassador has to be trained, has to be, if you wish, brainwashed to believe exactly what the government and its politicians ask him to do. Well, we need to be brainwashed too. You say brainwashed? Christianity is brainwashing? Absolutely. I believe unless my brain was washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, and unless my life was washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, I would be a filthy person at best. Yes, I believe in brainwashing the brain. I believe the brain has to be washed and purified, like an ambassador has to be brainwashed to represent his country. All his personal ideas, all his the things he has read before, all the disagreements with the government should be thrown out. And only one thing he should remember, that he is representing now his government, his king. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are his witnesses, the Bible says. In Acts 1:8 we read, but you will receive power then, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One of the questions people have asked me is, how come Temple Baptist Church, or how come you and your family really are involved in missions? Why is it you're reaching out to the Philippines, and why are you reaching out to Bangladesh, and why are you reaching out to Armenia? It's because Jesus told us to do it. I believe every Christian has been told to go to all nations, black, white, yellow, Christians, atheists, anyone, and make them disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciple means a follower, a student, mathetes, a student of Jesus Christ. That's our call. That's what God has asked us to do. Then we read in Philippians 2:15, we are his light in this dark world. And I quote, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now, if every one of us would be shining where we are, believe me, our lives would be different. This church would be filled. Our churches would be filled. The problem is we don't shine enough. The problem is we go to work and we are just like them. We go to school and we just hide. We put the light under the bushel. Whatever. And you know what? It's not being ashamed, but it's being embarrassed and being embarrassed. It is lack of faith. I believe that we don't believe that we really represent God. We really represent Jesus Christ. Because if I really believe that I was the ambassador of Jesus Christ, what an awesome privilege for an Armenian guy who came from Greece and didn't finish any university. Who am I to be? But every one of us, every one of you here is an ambassador if you are willing to serve Christ. That's what the Bible says. In Revelation 22, verse 12, we read, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Now, again, people don't talk too much. The only thing that I've heard people talk these days is the crowns we're going to receive because we are Christian. And the rewards and the crowns and so many crowns. You don't know what to do with these crowns. And you know what? My prayer to the Lord is to be a doormat for him. A crown. I have already a crown. I have eternal life that he gave me. I have the assurance of my salvation. No crown can be any more important than my salvation and my passing from death to life. But we must not serve our Lord because he will give us rewards and crowns. We must serve him because we love him. That's number one. And number two, because he expects us to serve him. We got married 49 years ago. I didn't marry her because I had to. I married her because I believed in her. And I made a commitment right here. My wife and I got married in this church right there. And we made a commitment to God, and we made a commitment to the public that were here, and we made a commitment to the parents that were here, and we made a commitment to each other to love each other for better or worse. Now, did things get better or worse? Yes, some things went worse, and some things are better, much better. And life is wonderful even when things are not going always well. And with Christ, when we walk the walk, sometimes things don't go as well as we would want to. And yet, because we love him, we do what we do. Your most important appointment is getting closer every day. Are you getting ready for it? And I'll give you one short verse before I close. And that is in Amos chapter 4, verse 12. It says, prepare to meet your God. It says, prepare to meet your God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Help each one of us to prepare, to be ready to meet you. Clear our thoughts, clear our minds, and help each one of us to surrender our lives, mend our broken lives, and help each one of us to live a holy life. In your blessed name I pray, amen.